Welcome to Commission Ed, the Air Force Officer Podcast. Here we explore the training and development of America's leaders in the application of air power and the profession of arms. The views expressed are those of the hosts and do not reflect the official policy or position of the United States Air Force, Department of Defense, or the U.S. government.
Welcome back to another episode of Commission Ed, the Air Force Officer Podcast. I am Colin Slade.
And I'm Reed Gann, and we're your hosts for Commission Ed.
We wanted to take a slightly different approach on this episode. Think of it as kind of like a toolbox or something that our listeners could use in their practical day-to-day operations as either an officer in the Air Force or as a cadet going through Air Force ROTC or preparing to go through OTS. And we felt that given our recent conversations about promotions and the officer evaluation system, we felt that it would be appropriate for us to talk about bullets.
Exactly. And for those who may not be familiar, unfortunately for everyone involved, including you and I, Colin, we're not talking about metal projectiles leaving barrels of weapons at high rates of speed. If only that was what we were talking about today. No, today we are talking about bullets, which are the kind in written form that essentially make everything happen around the Air Force. You're going to get promoted. It's because the bullets are good. Now, granted, those bullets need to be backed up by performance, but that's what we're going to be talking about today. How can you write for the people, for the situations that your people are in that will help them achieve the awards, the promotions, everything that they need to?
Excellent. So, Reed, I'm a cadet in ROTC, or I'm someone who has interest in being an officer in the Air Force, but I haven't yet joined a commissioning source. What do you mean by a bullet?
So a bullet is an abbreviated method of conveying information in written form. So if you or I were to go and do something, perform a retirement ceremony, for example, or we were asked to complete a task and we did so and we're recognized for doing it very well, how do we record that information and how does that get put down on an awards package or on a promotion recommendation form or on our annual review? And that gets done in a bullet. So we have to find a way to very concisely convey a lot of information, and the Air Force has decided to use bullets. So just think of normal English, but very abbreviated so that you can convey a lot more information in a lot smaller amount of space.
Yeah, and one thing that I want to emphasize, and you touched on this a little bit earlier, but I want to reemphasize the point that the reason that we should care about bullets is that you particularly, you as a person, like flesh and blood, you don't get promoted. You're not going to go stand in front of a promotion board and make your case on why it is that you should be promoted. Rather, it is a piece of paper that represents you with a bunch of bullets on it that actually gets promoted. A promotion board or a review board for an awards package, they are going to look at this piece of paper and make a judgment call on whether or not to promote you or give you an award, or even more importantly, to promote your airman or give your airman an award. They are going to base all that judgment off of paper records, not you, flesh and blood, in person.
And that just makes sense given the scale and scope of our service. You know, there's 320 some odd thousand active duty airmen. How on earth are you going to get them all in a room and pick the ones that get promoted? You just can't. Right? It's just sheer volume, mass. It's just unattainable. So this is how we do it. And another reason we're doing this is that it's not something that comes naturally. This is not any form of writing you've ever done in the past. And you need to be exposed early and often in order to get better. A few years ago, if you were to ask me, hey, how are you at bullets? A few years ago, I would have said, ooh, mediocre at best. And I knew I needed to improve, but I didn't really have the situation or the circumstances, and I personally didn't put forth the effort. I had a lot of people help me, and then I did have an opportunity to sit at the foot of a true master, and I really began to become better than average at writing bullets, and I've seen the benefits of it, and we want to make sure that we can, if at the very least, encourage you to think about it and seek out those other people that can help you get better.
Awesome. So Reed, you're going to take us through some of your lessons learned about bullet writing, some of the practical things that our listeners can use in their process of writing bullets and getting better at getting themselves and their people recognized. Now, before we start that, let's acknowledge the elephant in the room. Podcasting is not a good medium for learning and practicing bullets, but we hope that through this quick discussion about bullet writing, tips and tricks for capturing information and presenting it in such a way that is easily digestible and accurately reflects performance and merit, that we can all improve in our bullet writing.
Yep. Thanks for that, Colin. That's a perfect segue into the first tip that I want to offer our audience. The first thing that you have to know in order to get better at writing bullets is that you must write bullets. You have to actually put pen to paper, fingers to keyboard, and you're going to have to actually write something in order to get better. So if you don't have the opportunity to do that, most officers have at least once a year where they're going to have to contribute to their annual performance report. That's not enough. You need more reps than that. So how can you find more opportunities to write bullets? Perhaps if you have like a weekly report or a monthly summary of your activities, perhaps you keep a journal of what you're doing. In some form, you're recording what it is that you're doing at your job. I would encourage you to take the extra time and to try to craft those into bullets. I actually had a supervisor who required me every quarter to submit an awards package. Now, the intent of that was to get me to practice writing bullets as well as to record what it is I was doing every quarter. And that was really helpful for me in order to get me to writing more bullets. When we teach this lesson at OTS, we actually give a very brief intro. We show a couple of bullets up on a PowerPoint. Then we hand out a lot of material, and then we start writing bullets. We will grade the bullets. We'll have what we call a murder board. Well, you'll put up everyone's bullets, and then you'll decide which ones are best. You look at other examples. You compare and contrast. That way, everyone has the experience and opportunity to learn how to write bullets, but it all takes doing.
Yeah, the same is true in Air Force ROTC, and I assume the same at the Air Force Academy, that all our cadets and officers, for that matter, they must spend time practicing bullet writing. So we have our cadets at ROTC practicing writing awards packages on GMC cadets, on freshmen and sophomores that are coming into the program, doing Cadet of the Month nominations or Cadet of the Year, or even taking their accomplishments from the previous semester or during that semester and having them write bullets on themselves so that they can get those repetitions in.
The big skill with bullets is trying to figure out how to coalesce a bunch of information, picking out the important bits and figuring out how to put it together into a story. The only way you're going to get better at that is by doing. So the number one tip, you got to write bullets. All right, for the second tip, you need to find the bullet Jedi in your organization and you need to ask them to be guided in the ways. This is not the kind of writing that you've ever done anywhere else and you will probably not do anywhere else. These bullet Jedis, they learned at the feet of other masters. They've learned through years of trial and error. Learn from them. A couple ways that you can do that, because these bullet Jedis are highly sought after individuals. This has been really successful for me, and I encourage you to use it. First, write a plain English short paragraph that covers everything you're trying to communicate in that bullet. And do that for all of the bullets. It might be a 2 or 3 page short word doc, nothing complicated. But just have in plain English what it is you're trying to convey. Then take that information and give it your best shot to put all of those in bullet format. Take these two documents, your draft bullets and your plain English paragraph describing what you were trying to get across. Take these to the Bullet Jedi. And please, please do this well ahead of any deadlines that you may be facing. There's nothing like a very short deadline dropped on somebody to make them not want to help you out. You know, if you want help from these folks, get well ahead of the curve. Keep a copy of your bullets for you so you can see when the Jedi gets back with you with their bullets. you can compare and contrast, and then you can see what it is that they did, how they maybe changed the order of something and how that is more impactful, or maybe they brought out something that you weren't thinking about. Use that as a compare and contrast opportunity. And that's one way you can get better, is by seeing how other people see the information that you have and how they can craft really good bullets. This is a great tip when you're trying to teach others. If you're leading others and you want them to make bullets, this is a great way to create a mentorship opportunity.
Yeah, this is a really outstanding advice. I highly encourage that everyone in this audience go and find that bullet Jedi, and also do the same for your people. Be a bullet Jedi for them. But Reed, how do we know when we have found a bullet Jedi, or where should we go to find that person?
Very often at the centers of power in an organization. So we're talking the command team, we're talking the senior enlisted advisor to a commander, we're talking the commander and their executive officer. Those are the folks who spend a lot of their day doing evaluations, reports, doing awards, decorations, etc., all centered in and around this idea of bullets. So first thing is obviously go to your supervisor and then just start asking around, but that's often where you're going to find the people who are really skilled in doing this.
Yeah, and that reemphasizes the point that we talked about earlier, that it's not you in flesh and blood that gets promoted, but it is your package. It is your paper, the bullets on a piece of paper. And so anybody who has been promoted up high enough to the point where they are in a center of power, it's because they looked good on paper, which means that they probably have spent some time honing their craft, practicing writing bullets, and they are the kind of bullet Jedi that you want to associate yourself with and learn from.
Additionally, another opportunity, they seem to come up maybe once, twice a year. You'll just get an email on, hey, we're having a bullet writing workshop. Take those opportunities to learn. And that's another place that you'll find bullet Jedis, is they're lurking in the background of these bullet workshops, trying to help other people out. All right, so advice number two, find the bullet Jedi and get some help. All right, the next one is follow existing guidance. So that may be counterintuitive, right? We're trying to use a different way of writing. Creativity is encouraged. How can I convey all this information into something much shorter? But there are actually rules to this game, just like there are in just about any game. And nothing is worse than spending hours and hours perfecting a bullet that you think is just great, and then finding out, wait, I can't use that information. Almost every organization I've ever been a part of has had an approved acronym and abbreviation list. Some words you can shorten, and they want you to shorten them using a very specific letter combination. Others you don't have to shorten because it's commonly understood over and over, et cetera, et cetera. So pay attention to these published abbreviation and acronym lists. Ask around. Your organization will have them. There's also things you can't say in certain documents. Here's one using the Officer Performance Report of the OPR. According to the AFI 362406, Officer and Enlisted Evaluation Systems, paragraph 8.1.3.6.1. I love these AFIs, Colin. They bring me happiness.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you gave the full citation. Thank you.
Well, I want them to find it. So as a general rule, prohibited promotion statements are any comments, direct or implied, that refer to a higher grade. For example, any comments that state the individual is performing above his or her grade, occupying a position requiring a more senior grade, comparing an individual to an officer of a higher grade, or alluding to a higher ranking position are all prohibited. All right, so all that is to say, if you're writing an officer performance report and someone is, let's say they're a lieutenant and they are doing the job that is normally reserved for a major, you can't say that because that would be implying promotion, and that's prohibited. So this is one of those little things that you may or may not know. So find the guidance, read it. It will save you a lot of time. Another source of information is the tongue and quill, the Air Force Handbook 33-337. The tongue and quill has a lot of good stuff in there. Pay attention to the guidance. So that is the third tip. Follow existing guidance. It'll save you a lot of pain. All right, fourth tip. And this is where we kind of start to get into a little bit of style. And again, this is not the best medium to talk about writing. We recognize that, but we're trying to give you some tips. This is one that I saw that was really common. I was an executive officer in a group for about a year. And one of my primary duties is writing bullets. I sat at the feet of masters. I was instructed in the ways, and I felt that I got much better at writing. One of the things that I saw and was taught to me is that a lot of people, their vision is too narrow or it's too tactical. So what do I mean by that? So at OTS, all of the officers are training students. And that's a huge portion of what we do. And it's not uncommon to want to demonstrate how many students they had taught throughout the year as they were trying to reflect the impact they were having on the Air Force. And so very often I get these bullets, Captain so-and-so trained this many students, achieved squadron goals, that type of thing. Colin, quick question. Who decides how many officers were responsible to train every year?
Oh, that's actually decided by Congress through the Program Guidance Letter, or PGL, which we have covered in previous episodes.
Yep. And that guidance comes straight from the top. So Congress goes to the Secretary of Defense, who goes to the Secretary of the Air Force, who goes to the Chief of Staff, Headquarters Air Force, pushes that down to the numbered Air Force, the wing, then the groups and squadrons. And there's your goal. So Colin, if we're meeting our production goal, it actually means we're meeting a congressionally mandated requirement. So which sounds better, met squadron production goal or satisfied congressionally mandated production requirement?
Definitely the latter.
Exactly. Now, this can get carried away, taken to the extreme, you know, where you write something that, you know, by my very presence, the sun rises and sets every day. That isn't true. So how do we know where to find that line when I say look up or increase your vision? Another way that you'll hear this is the impact is weak. A tip to try to figure out how you're hitting the appropriate impact and that you're thinking about not just the tactical mission, you know, the tactical what happened as a result of what I'm doing, is to say, so what? Once you've read the bullet, you've looked at it, okay, I accomplished this thing. Say, so what? Well, does that meet a bigger, broader goal that you're also part of? Say so what a couple times and you'll kind of see how it builds to the overall mission of the Air Force. And a good rule of thumb with where do I stop when I'm trying to ask, well, how big of an impact do I have? So officer performance reports, for example, have at least two signatories. They'll have your direct supervisor and then very often what's called the senior rater. And depending on what job your senior rater holds, it's very often a wing commander. What is the mission of that wing commander? That is where your impact should be hitting. You should be fulfilling the objectives of that wing commander. And for me, my wing commander was tasked with producing 85% of the officers for the Air Force. So it's pretty reasonable that I'm helping that commander reach their congressionally mandated requirement.
Yeah, and one thing that I just thought of, Reed, is that this is not necessarily directly related to bullet writing, but just officership in general, is that you should know what your commander's intent is. And at all times, you should be able to know what you are doing at the tactical level and how it is helping to carry out the commander's intent. So if you can understand your commander's intent, then it's pretty easy to answer those questions of so what, about what it is that you are doing. And I'm not just talking about your flight commander's intent. I'm not talking about squadron commander's intent. You should know your boss's boss's boss, your wing commander and up, your senior rater. You should know their intent and how what you are doing, what your mission is, fits into that broader mission and commander's intent.
Couldn't agree more. And I think that's an excellent thing for us to keep in mind. And when you really begin to internalize, what am I doing and how does it impact the mission of the Air Force, you'll see what it is that you're doing and how it contributes. You'll know exactly what level of vision you should have when you write these bullets. So tip number four, increase your vision. Look up to develop those stronger impacts. All right. Tip number five is just kind of a statement of fact that some career fields are a lot easier to write on than others. For example, I'm an intelligence officer, and a significant portion of what I do is classified. officer performance reports are unclassified. It becomes challenging at times to not break any of the rules about exposing classified information, yet conveying what it is I do.
Yeah, the same thing is true on the CE side of things, on civil engineering side of things, that there are some career fields that are just a lot easier to write for or write bullets on than others. One example that comes to mind is the firefighters, as well as explosive ordnance disposal or EOD. These two career fields are super easy to write about because what they do just sounds cool to begin with. You know, they're fighting fires, they're blowing up things, they're keeping people safe, they're saving lives. So that kind of thing sounds super impressive just to begin with, and they win awards all the time because of it. But one of the responsibilities that we have as officers in the Air Force is to not just take care of people who do the jobs that sound super impressive, but we have to recognize all of our people who are deserving. For example, you may be a security forces officer and you have to write bullets on the gate guard, the troop that's out there in front of the gate, checking IDs day in and day out. That's probably a difficult thing to write bullets on. Or maybe you have an admin NCO or knowledge ops NCO in a command support staff, a CSS, and what they do just sounds super mundane, but it's critically important to the proper execution of the mission and making sure that everything gets taken care of on the administrative side. And so you, as the officer responsible for that airman or that NCO, you need to be able to pull out the most important information from what it is that individual is doing in their job and tie it into that commander's intent that we were just talking about. And another thought on that is this doesn't apply just to officers, and it doesn't apply just to certain career fields. If you are a cadet in ROTC at the academy or at officer training school, some cadets that are within your realm of responsibility are just easier to write bullets on, but you have the responsibility to take care of everybody that's in your sphere of influence.
So tip number 5, it's just a statement of fact. Sometimes it's easier to write on certain situations and on certain career fields than it is on others, but that doesn't relieve you of the responsibility to do the best you can to get everyone the recognition they deserve. All right, so 6, we're going to talk a little bit about style. So I'm going to bring up one style format that I've found successful, and Colin, you'll give us another one, and then we'll kind of wrap this up in a quick statement at the end. So with style, I like to use a format that follows a building type structure. Well, what does that mean? I like to read a report, an award, so that every line by line, gets better, so that at the end of your document, you just want to jump up and shout, "Go Air Power," from the top of your lungs, because you see how this person's just crushing it on every day. Oh, dear. Okay. So, Colin, you've got a different option when it comes to format. I like the building type format. What's another one that our audience can use?
So I agree with you that the package should build up in emphasis, that the strongest impact, the strongest bullet should be at the end. However, I am of the opinion that the second strongest bullet should be first in that package. And the reason is that people are lazy. When they are reviewing bullets, reviewing packages for an award or for promotion, eventually their eyes are going to glaze over, and they're going to look at the first bullet, and then they're going to look at the second bullet. And they may look at the bullets in between, but if I'm in that position where I need to make a quick decision about who I'm going to give the award to, and I've already looked at 30 different packages, or if I have to look through 30 different packages, I'm going to come up with a shorter system that's probably going to be first bullet, last bullet, and make a decision from there.
So what is our tip number 6? Our tip number 6 is follow whatever format your boss wants, but here are 2 options that you can use. So a building type or a hook type, which is what Colin described, where we have a really good bullet at the top to kind of hook them into reading it, and then it kind of builds from there. So tip number 6, follow whatever format your boss wants, and we gave you a couple options. Colin, let's go through a couple rapid fire things to kind of wrap things up here, and I'll start. Exclamation points. Got to use them sparingly. once, maybe twice in an entire document. You don't want to go much more than that.
Yep. Next up, start early. Do not wait until right before the deadline to get your bullets in or start practicing. Start early because this can take a long time.
The next, keep a bullet bank. Every time you write a bullet, every time you submit a package, keep a copy. You'll be amazed how handy that bullet bank will come in the future when you do have a short-term requirement. It's a lot easier to go back on something you've already done that's been proven successful than just to start from scratch.
Next up, when you get edits back, please don't take it personally. See that as an opportunity to improve. That senior NCO, that chief, that commander has taken some time to help you improve with your bullet writing. So take that as positive feedback and a way to get better at your craft.
That leads us to our next one. And we've already mentioned it, but it's worth saying again, every boss has a different style. What works someplace may not work in the next. Flexibility is the key to air power. Learn the style of the unit you're in.
And one way to be flexible, our next tip, is to use a thesaurus. Don't get stuck in a rut using the same words over and over again or beating your head against a brick wall about how to fill that last bit of white space. Use a thesaurus.
I've actually seen words that have been blacklisted from some commanders. They will reject entire reports if they have certain words on them. So exactly. All right, next tip. If you've done something that's the first ever or is the only one in the Air Force, those are really great things to key in on to use for your reports and for your awards. Use those things.
Absolutely. A really good tip is to include numbers in your bullets if you can. Numbers are really good to give credibility to that bullet. Bigger numbers are even better. And if those big numbers can have dollar signs on them, that's even better. But, and this is a really important caveat on this, do not lie. It doesn't do you or the Air Force any good to lie about the numbers that are on your report or awards package.
I've actually had leadership come back and say, can you quantify this? Can you demonstrate that this quantity is actual? So people will call your bluff. Don't lie on the numbers. All right. And last little quick tip before we have a couple stories, good artists copy, great artists steal, reuse good bullets. Colin, am I saying I need to violate my integrity? What am I talking about here?
No, what you're saying is that you shouldn't reinvent the wheel every time that you write a bullet.
Exactly. You're going to have these Jedis who are going to pull open. I'm not joking. They're going to have a drawer. They're going to open that drawer and they're going to pull out an award from 1997 that won like a quarterly or an annual. And they're like, here's a really good bullet that we could use that will be, that fits the situation. Use the stuff you've already used. It'll save you a lot of time. These things have been proven to be successful. Don't spend unholy amounts of time trying to create something from nothing. Good artist copy, great artist steal. Use good bullets.
So that was some quick fire tips and tricks on bullet writing. Some things that we hope that you can use in your job as an officer in the Air Force, as a cadet going through training, to make sure that you are getting the recognition that you deserve, that you are being competitive for promotion, and more importantly, taking care of your people, making sure that they are being competitive for promotion, getting the recognition that they deserve. Because ultimately, that's why we're here, to take care of the mission and take care of our people.
Couldn't agree more. You take care of your people, they're going to take care of the fighting, and that's how we're going to win.
So we hope this information has been useful to you. Again, this episode was a little bit different format. We would appreciate some feedback on what you think of it. If this information has been good to you, let us know. You can leave us a rating review on your favorite podcasting platform and we'll get it there. Or you can send us an email at airforceofficerpodcast@gmail.com. You can engage with us on the social media platforms. We're active on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We have a discussion group there on Facebook where you can ask your questions and get additional feedback. Hey, how about this? Post a bullet there and we'll review it for you.
We can do that. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Commission Ed.
Thank you for listening to Commission Ed, the Air Force Officer Podcast. The views and opinions of the authors expressed herein do not state or reflect those of the U.S. government and shall not be used for advertising or product endorsement purposes. Mention of any specific commercial products, process, or service by trade name, trademark, manufacturer, or otherwise does not necessarily constitute nor imply its endorsement, recommendation, or favoring by the U.S. government. The mention of companies by name is solely for the purpose of discussion and should not be implied as endorsement.